My name is Yekaterina Martynova, people call me Katya. I'm an editor in Doxo magazine. I'm a sociologist as well.
Das war Ekaterina Martynova, die per Videocall mit mir gesprochen hat. Ekaterina Martynova, die Herausgeberin des Studierendenmagazins Doxa, befindet sich momentan im Exil in Italien. Das folgende Interview haben wir auf Englisch geführt. Die Fragen wurden dann anschließend noch einmal von einer englischen Muttersprachlerin eingesprochen.
Especially since the Russian invasion, but also already before, in 2019 and 20, independent media suffer from increased state repression. What measures is the Russian state taking to keep you from doing your journalistic work?
From the 1st of March, we were blocked by Russian censorship watchdog. So people can access to our website only with VPN. And last year, Russian government attacked us and created a political case against four editors for basically a video where Doxa editors stated that it's unlawful to threaten students if they want to express their political opinion. And yeah, it's kind of a long story of Russian government trying us to stop our work. But now, of course, it's way more bigger than it was. Though it was also not like something casual that happens to every journalist in Russia. No, I guess we were one of the first ones who were under such huge attack.
Can you explain to us what circumstances have led to you being in exile now? Where are you now?
I'm not in Russia since June. After interrogation in investigative committee, I was asked to go for interrogation as a witness in political case against Doxa, as did every editor in Doxa. So they interrogated the whole editorial, but I decided to leave the country after it shortly. And I was having, exchange year in Bologna University, where I am still. Though I'm not anymore exchange student, I'm finishing my bachelor's in Russia remotely, as long as it's available, this option. But we know that yesterday Russian ministry said that, you know, we don't want to be in Bologna program, university program. So basically, I guess we were the last students here from Russia. And yeah, right now I'm in Italy, graduating, but in Russia.
What was the exact moment or feeling that made you leave Russia?
Not like directly, but it always happens in Russia. Like it's not something new, I would say right now to the readers or anybody here. And I was made certainly some signals, but it wasn't like a threat that, yeah, if you will not leave the country in 2 days, you will have also a criminal case against you. No, it wasn't so. So I cannot define it as a threat. I can define it as a signal for sure.
What does it mean for you to be a journalist in exile?
This means a lot of responsibility, firstly, because even being in exile, I still feel that I have this huge mission to provide information to my home country. And as many can ask me how I'm doing it or how to doxa it, basically because we have a lot of sources and we had such a big and great community around us, which supported us both informational things and both like just we have a very active readers, and they send us a lot of content like photos from meetings, photos from protest things, and basically that's how we can still operate with the news, for example. But the Doxa also were like this kind of reflective space, and we just do our job, and we know that if we will not do this job, probably nobody will do this job providing the platform for young voices in Russia. That's why I feel that it's my maybe small but very important mission to create this space for everybody.
You live and work between several countries and cultures. How do you cope with that?
Well, I think like I just got used to this, and as many of my colleagues were studying abroad or also like lived in two cities. Like also being in Russia, it's being either in Moscow, which is capital, and it is not very Russian in this sense. It's a capital where everybody has money, but a lot of my people from my generation doesn't have it, so they're living in regions, and that is another Russia. So also we can ask them how they're living between two these realities. And for me, I guess I just settle my routine. So I'm studying here, living, having friends here, but also I'm working for Russia and also have a lot of Russian friends with whom I'm hangouting, like we're visiting each other. That's just hard to explain, to be honest. It's just happening.
What does it mean for your journalistic profession to now be in Russia?
To be honest, I don't feel that I'm not in the fight right now. I'm feeling that I'm very closely in the fight because I was always a data journalist. So I was working with data. And to be honest, like working with data gives you a lot of freedom to be anywhere. And I was doing a lot of investigations. Basically, I could not be in Russia in that time, but I still managed to do this. So now I also do a lot of investigations. And I feel like, of course, it's a huge problem for the people who are working in the field, because for them, it's a huge crisis of genre and themselves, because how you can operate without it. But for me, it was kind of always a bit different story. So I will say that I'm just keeping my work. And also, as long as I'm editor, I still find the themes on Twitter, still talk a lot of my Russian friends who are still there, still into the news in Russia. Like basically I'm consuming only Russian or like Moscow news. And I don't know much about European news, like locally, but I know about Russia because I'm an expert in this. So it doesn't affect that much on my work.
Especially since the Russian invasion, but also already before, in 2019 and 20, independent media suffer from increased state repression. What difficulties arise when certain media are banned in Russia? How do you manage to report on events in Russia abroad when only propaganda is broadcasted in the media there?
We have our anonymous correspondents, like who are working for us freelance. And we are trusting them and like also fact-checking a lot. And we never collaborated with some kind of propaganda sources or anything like that. So for us, it was always working in the field, not with our resources, but like finding the resources in the field and asking other colleagues, like, have they worked with them? Or it was our friends who basically like wanted to contribute in Doxa but couldn't work for us for some reason or just basically didn't want to. So they were deciding like to report like this, just to be in the field, but anonymously.
Were you threatened in any way by the regime?
That was exactly the moment of my interrogation, because after it, I felt very unsafe. And it's just, you know, after you're facing face-to-face this regime in this kind of symbolic sense, in this building of investigative committee, they try to fear you and to, like, threaten you in a very weird way, but still. And it's just mentally not a good feeling that I had. And I was like, okay, this is my red line. I know that like now it's not okay for me. So that's how I decided.
To what extent do you see yourself not only as a journalist and activist, but also as an advocate for people in Russia who are treated unfairly by the government?
To be honest, not that much. I'm feeling still as a journalist who is doing her work. And of course, I have a huge personal agenda here because I really believe in democratic and freedom ideas, and I'm super pro about constitutional rights because I'm coming from sociology and I know how society can work with or without it. And Yeah, but to be honest, I never wanted and never want still to be a hero of this fight against the regime. I think the role of journalist is just to provide the information, but also in some way, this role of being journalist today in Russia is so much shaped, so you are not very pure journalist in a sense. You're also acting like an activist because Russian government is basically defining you so. And also you have your personal like views, and like when it goes about investigations, of course, yeah, we cannot write investigations based on our personal views. Nobody says that. But like when it goes about some opinions about covering stories, we cannot say that like, okay, here comes some politics. And I for sure understand that like Western standards of work requires more kind of transparency. In my work, in our media, we are doing very clear distinction here. So we are, for example, covering stories about social inequality and political repressions, and we cannot like be objective in classical sense here. Of course, we would like give more words to people who are oppressed because government will like still be, and without us, they will still do that way one.